Great to be together this morning, and it's hard to realize that it's almost June coming up so quickly, and it's great to realize, as Ted pointed out, that we have been able to be meeting for over a year now since we had the shutdowns, and we've been very fortunate. We've been very blessed not to have any sickness in our group. So we're thankful for all of that. Matt and Melissa are out of town this week, and I think Phil and Maurice. So we have some who are traveling, but it's great to see all of you here today. And I spoke with Dolores on the phone, and she said she is planning and hoping to be here next Sunday for service. So she's feeling really well, and it'll be great to be able to see her. Karen Hunt is out of town this week. She's over visiting with the Skillings on the coast. So anyway, I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to read here from first part of Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus is teaching, and he's being asked some questions by his disciples. So beginning in Matthew 13, verse 1, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60. Psalm 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear, see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. We see in this passage here that reminded of how Jesus was a teacher. And that is first and foremost what he was while he was here on this earth. He went about teaching. And while there were other things that he did, such as performing miracles and healing the sick, Jesus was primarily going about as a teacher. We're told in Matthew 4 and verse 23, toward the beginning of his ministry, it said that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And as a teacher, Jesus was unique. In fact, there was never any other teacher like Jesus that had ever before or since. And it was recognized by the people that his greatness and his uniqueness as a teacher, because as he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and at the close of that sermon in Matthew 7 and verse 28 and 29, it said that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And later on another occasion, even the enemies of Jesus were sent to arrest him in John chapter 7. And the soldiers came back after that and they said, "No man ever spoke like this man." They were impressed, even his enemies, by the way that Jesus taught. And so, when Jesus was here on earth, he went about teaching. And teaching is a very patient process. Because in order for Jesus to impart his purpose that he had come from heaven to earth, his purpose was to reveal his Father's will and reveal his Father's love and his will for our lives, his desire for us to be saved and have eternal life. And that process of Jesus being able to teach and impart helped people to understand the will of his Father. It took a lot of patience and teaching and instruction on the part of Jesus in order for that to happen. We know that Jesus was going about performing many miracles, and the miracles that Jesus performed were gaining attraction to Jesus. And in John chapter 3 and verse 1, we find that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he was a leader of the Jews, one of the Pharisees, but he said, "Teacher, we know," or "Rabbi," he said, "we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him." But those miracles that Jesus did not use that power of miracles to impart the understanding to his disciples or to the people of his day. That could only be accomplished by teaching. And so it was a very slow and patient process, and Jesus realizing that at any point people could simply walk away. Or that even after he had patiently taught people for some length of time, that they might choose to reject his message. And yet Jesus continued with his heart of love and concern for people to carry out the will of his Father. He continued to patiently teach. And he was unique in that. There's never been another teacher like Jesus. And why shouldn't that be true? Because Jesus is the one who came down from heaven above. And he was the Word made flesh, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And we see the glory of God in him. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 6 that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So why shouldn't Jesus be the most unique teacher that has ever walked on this earth? And indeed he was. So it was not his miracles. Jesus did not use the miracles power of God that he had in order to impart understanding to the people. That only came through his teaching. And one of the ways that Jesus chose to teach people was with the use of parables. It was the message that Jesus has for us that is going to save us. It wasn't the miracles. The miracles were there to confirm who he was. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And it was through the performing of the miracles that Jesus did that it helped people to bring that to their attention and convince them He is from heaven. He is from God. But it was not that that was going to result in their salvation. It was the receiving of the message of the gospel. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that he says, "The gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." So it's through hearing and understanding the gospel that a person comes to salvation. It's not through seeing a miracle that Jesus performed. That might help convince you that he is the Christ, but a person, in order to receive salvation, they have to come to that understanding of what God has done for us. That God has sent his Son from heaven because of his great love for us to die for our sins on the cross, and then he was raised from the dead. So it is through the understanding and the teaching that a person comes to receive salvation in Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself spent a great portion of his time here on this earth doing just that, sitting carefully and taking the time with people to teach them. We're told in John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45, Jesus therefore answered and said to the people on this occasion, he said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So we all have to be learners. We all have to be hearers. And it is through that process that we make a decision, we make a choice to receive the message of Jesus or to not receive the message of Jesus. Jesus comes and he presents the offer to us, but he does not force that upon any of us. That is a decision that we are able to make as to whether or not we will believe that God has sent his Son from heaven to earth, that God does love us, and we are willing to put our trust in him and surrender our lives and submit ourselves to his Son Jesus, or to refuse to make that choice and that decision. And there is a commitment that we make at that time. It is not just a second of the moment of a decision. Yes, I believe in Jesus. There is a commitment that we make to follow him and to learn from him and to walk as he walked and to live as he instructs us that we are to live. So it is through that Jesus imparted the purpose of his life to his followers through his teaching. And his teaching was in a very simple method. As we look at Jesus and how he was teaching the people, because he was telling them parables. He was teaching them with simple stories that were drawn from people's own lives, things that they were familiar with in their daily life. But Jesus was taking those, and through that he was imparting and helping them to understand spiritual truths and realities about his kingdom and the life that God has in store that he wants for us to enjoy and to have. So it was a simple approach that Jesus was using, that he was teaching people where they understood and using that to lead them to where they needed to be. So in Matthew 13 is where we begin to see Jesus teaching in parables. And the statement is made here in verse 13, as we read a moment ago, that he taught them many things in parables. But this is the first time that we had seen that being done by Jesus. And even his disciples noticed that there was a shift here. That from how he had been operating and how he had been teaching and instructing the people, now he was using a new method at this time. So it says there in verse 3, it says that on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together so that he got into the boat. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." And many of the people were coming to hear Jesus because they had heard that he is the king. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the enthusiasm, the excitement was building of that, the idea that Jesus was going to establish the kingdom. And people wanted to learn about that. They wanted to know more about, when is Jesus going to set up the kingdom? When is this going to happen? And yet, here is a crowd of people is gathering around, and Jesus gets into the boat. And what does he do? He begins telling them a story. The sower went out to sow. And the seed fell on the ground. And some of the birds came and picked that up. And others fell upon the ground that had a lot of rocks underneath. And it sprang up. But then the sun, it died off later in the heat of the day. And some grew up and there were thorns there. And the thorns choked it out and it could not bear any fruit. But then there was some good ground. Some of the seed fell on good ground, and it produced in various amounts 30, 60, and 100 fold. It was amazing the growth that happened where it was the good ground. But some of it fell, and it didn't produce that result. And that was the story. And he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So he's teaching them in parables. And this was a new way of teaching. And even the disciples picked up on this. And they wanted to ask him, why was he doing that? Well now, a parable is a certain type of story that was familiar to people in those days. Jesus wasn't the first one to tell parables. There are parables that are found in the Old Testament as well. But here was the first time, really, that Jesus was using this method. In a parable, it means to place one thing beside another. It literally means to throw it alongside. So, in a parable, you have a story that is drawn from everyday life, but it takes things that are familiar to people, and it places beside that some type of a spiritual lesson that is to be understood. So Jesus began teaching using this method, and it was a simple approach. It was one that people would listen and they would be drawn in and they would wonder about, well, what is the meaning? What is the lesson that is being taught here in that? It's been said that parables are a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So in the use of a parable, it takes from the things that you know, that you're familiar with. And in the parables of Jesus, there's never anything in those parables that is not just things that happen in everyday life that the people were familiar with. Now, he uses things that were in the lives of the people at that time. Not so much things from our day the time that we are living, but in the first century where the people were familiar with these things. And from that, there is a lesson. Now, it may be sort of a hidden lesson that can be drawn from it, but there is a truth that Jesus is teaching. The parables always have a simple lesson, usually just one lesson that is meant to be understood out of the parable. And one of the ways that we can key into what is the point that Jesus is looking at the context. What were the circumstances? What was Jesus trying to teach at that time? And that will help us to understand what the lesson is that Jesus is drawing. But it's not that Jesus is telling a story that he intends for every little thing in the parable to have a hidden meaning, to have some kind of a symbolic meaning to it. Jesus is just telling a story, and from that, there's a simple lesson that is to be learned. For example, what better way is there to teach, would there have been for him to teach you how to love your neighbor than to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan comes along on the road and he sees this Jewish person who is lying beside the road and he has been beaten and robbed. And he stops and helps him and takes him to the inn. And that is, the lesson is, Jesus was asked the question, but who is my neighbor? And that drives that message home. And the lesson that the prodigal son, he goes away from his father, and his father comes, and he finally returns home. His father runs to meet him because of the great love that he has for his son who has gone away. The parables teach a simple lesson that drives home that message because it's taken from a story that we can all relate to. That is so simple. It is from everyday life. It is things that could happen. It's very conceivable that this could happen. It's true to life in every way. And there is a lesson there that we can see and understand. And the point of it is we need to apply that to our life once we understand that lesson. Are we willing to take that in and make the application that we need to make personally that we will learn to apply that lesson in our life? So that is why Jesus was using parables as a way of teaching. Sometimes parables can be very short sayings also, and sometimes they are referred to this way. There are a couple of examples of that in the New Testament. But we would say that a proverb is actually a short, very short statement that has a simple truth that it is leading from, and that is almost obvious when you hear it. And the proverb would be like this, that if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Or a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. Or physician, heal yourself. These are proverbs. These would be like in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. There's a simple truth that is put forth, and it's obvious when you hear what the point of that is. It's easy to understand. But it's put in a way that you remember it. It really makes the statement in a way that can be remembered for a long time. Well, those are proverbs, but the parables are a little different from that because in the parables, Jesus tells a story. And in the story, you don't see the meaning, obviously, as easy as you would with a proverb. You have to think about it and you think, now what is the point that is being made here? And then you can understand it. So there's a spiritual lesson there. The story is just an earthly story. But the point that Jesus is getting is he wants you to see the spiritual application of the story. And some people do not see that. You know, the parables of Jesus are so memorable that many people who aren't really even necessarily followers of Jesus are familiar with the parables. They have heard them. They have been handed down into our literature and our history. And so we understand the parables, but do we really understand them? Even though we might have heard the story, we might be familiar with it, have we taken the time to really grasp hold of what is the spiritual lesson that is to be learned there? Because that's what Jesus is intending it for it to be for each one of us. And he began here by telling the parable of the sower. And so it challenges us to look and ask deeper, if we're willing to do so, what is the spiritual lesson that Jesus was meaning when he told this story? But I think there is a question here that comes up in Matthew chapter 13 is, why did Jesus begin telling the parables at this particular time? If he had not been using these parables until later or earlier on, why did he suddenly now begin using them? And if there is a spiritual lesson to be learned, why not just give the lesson? Why tell a story to do it? Just go out, come out and say what the lesson is. Well, that is why we see here that the disciples come to Jesus in Matthew 13. In verse 10 it says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" You see here, Jesus gives a reason why he began teaching in parables. And the reason is that Jesus was seeing in his audience that there are some people there that are seeking to understand and learn from him, and there's others who are not. There are people in his audience that Jesus is aware that no matter how many miracles he performs at this point, they still are not going to believe and follow him. And so it's because of that that Jesus is making a distinction, and he's beginning to teach in parables that the story can be told and people can listen to the story. And if that's all they're interested in, then they are not going to grasp the spiritual lesson. But those who are seeking to know the truth, they can grasp and see, here is what the lesson is for us. So he says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. To those who are unbelieving, to those who are here in the audience and they are listening, but their purpose and their motives are different. They're not really seeking to know the truth. So I'm telling the parables because to you it will mean one thing. To them, they won't see beyond just the story itself. That's as far as they will go with it. So his disciples were surprised, though, and they were taken back, and they noticed that Jesus is doing something different here that he hasn't done before. So why? They go and ask him the question, and he explains to them the reason for that. Now, Jesus said that it was because of the fact that, he said, "Why do you speak to them?" He said, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Jesus is pointing out here something that in the use of his parables, he is actually hiding some things from some people, that he doesn't want them to necessarily see what the lesson is. For some people, he wants them to understand, but others, he tells it in the form of a parable so that even what they have will be taken away from them. If they're not willing to delve into the understanding and come to the truth of the knowledge that they should have, then he doesn't give them any more information. The disciples came to him and they asked him, they said, "Well, can you explain it to us?" And Jesus does explain to them what the parable means. A little bit later here in Matthew 13, he comes back again in verse 34. And he said, "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.'" So Jesus said this is a fulfillment of what it was prophesied in the Old Testament, that sometimes the prophet will speak to the people in parables because there are hidden things in the parable that only the ones who need to understand it will be able to understand. So there is kingdom truth for kingdom people. And Jesus is making that distinction here. To you it is given to know the mysteries, but to them it is not given. And for them, even what they have, it will be taken away from them. So if a person hears the words of God and they are listening to the word of God, you cannot come away from that with having to make some kind of a choice in your life. And if you make the wrong choice, then you're going to be on a different pathway. that the Lord wants us to understand. He gives us the truth, the opportunity to hear the truth. But if we reject that, then God does not continue to offer that same terms to us. There is a rejection, and therefore it can be taken back, that offer, that opportunity that is being given to that individual. So Jesus is speaking to them in parables. Now he is using a principle that God has used throughout the Old Testament as well. And in Isaiah chapter 57 and in verse 15, we see that Isaiah, who was preaching to the people of his day, and many times the people of Isaiah's day were of the same attitude, that they would hear the word of God, but then they would rebel against. They would not accept the truth that the prophet was speaking. But it was the one who was of a humble heart. So he said in Isaiah 57, verse 15, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." God is seeking those who are of a humble spirit. And therefore, his word is given out to appeal to those individuals. Those who have another alternative agenda or a motive that they have, that they're not really interested in God's teaching. They are only there to maybe criticize or find fault in some way. The message for them is going to be hidden in some ways. They will not see the spiritual lesson. They will not appreciate the spiritual truth that is found there. So God said that in the Old Testament as well. In Isaiah 66 and verse 2, he said, "For all those things my hand has made, but to this one will I look, to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." Those are the individuals that God is seeking. He's seeking a person who is humble, who is contrite, who is willing to hear and submit to the word of God in his life. And if a person doesn't have that attitude, then God still offers the salvation. He gives that door an opportunity to be open to that individual. But if that person will not accept that, then that teaching is not where they can understand beyond a certain point. It is concealed, it is veiled. And so the parables fit into that in a way that Jesus could tell the stories and the people who were interested would be able to see the message, but others, it would just be like a story about, it's about a farmer sowing the seed out here. We don't see any great truth that is found in that. So the kingdom was revealed to those who are willing to receive it. Jesus then, in telling them this parable, he is telling them that according to the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, it was foretold that this very attitude would exist. He said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." It was prophesied of this even in the Old Testament, that attitude would exist among the people. It existed, in fact, in the days of Isaiah. That is what God was pointing out for Isaiah, that he would preach, but the people would have stubborn hearts. They wouldn't listen, but continue to preach anyway. And that would be leading up to a judgment that would be coming on that nation of Israel that was disobedient, and they were stubborn, and they would not listen and hear the word of God. The prophets came and preached to them, and they refused to hear it. So it would lead up to the judgment of God falling upon them. Jesus' words are the same way. So many of the people saw and heard the miracles of Jesus, but they refused to accept them. And there is a message for us today that God's word is being given out, and God's word is preaching and offering the message of God's love and His salvation to mankind. But if those hear it and see the evidence and they refuse to accept it, then, as the Bible says, that a person then must be prepared to stand before God in a day of judgment. But the disciples came, though, and asked the questions to Jesus. There were many people in the audience that weren't truly of a mind to receive. Some of the miracles that Jesus had performed in Matthew 12, for example, and there was more of this rejection at this point in Matthew that was being seen. The people were hearing, they were seeing the evidence, but they were rejecting it. They were not accepting. So Jesus cast out the demons here in Matthew chapter 12. And some of them said, "He casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub." So they were attributing that to the power of Satan instead of the power of God. The disciples, though, they come and they ask the question. And so they said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he explains it to them. He goes on down here in the next part of the lesson, and he says in verse 16, he said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So he commends his own followers. You're blessed to hear these things. You're blessed to see these things. And you are of a mind to receive them. So those truths that I am sharing, you're going to get to apply the ultimate reality of those lessons in your life, and you're going to enjoy the abundant life. You're going to have the eternal salvation that God is preparing for us. It's a choice that the individual is being given in listening to the parables of Jesus. We have that same choice before us today. Parables of Jesus, we are familiar with the lessons. We've heard the stories. But what is the lesson teaching us? And are we willing to accept those lessons? Because it's then that our eyes will be blessed and our ears will be blessed. And we will be able to enjoy and realize the blessings that the prophets of the Old Testament said would come. Sometimes today we fail to realize how blessed we are to live in the days and times that we are living in, where we not only have the Bible, we have the freedom to hear the Bible, we have religious freedom, and we have grown up in a day and time where we are able to have maybe parents who have taught us from God's Word, and we're able to understand these things. But then if we turn from them and turn our backs upon those things, then we will not have any reason to excuse ourselves before the eyes of God. Because we have heard the truth. God wants us to hear the truth. He wants everyone to have the opportunity to hear the truth. But it's not forced upon anyone. It's a decision that each individual is able to make. So yes, the parables were designed to turn some people away. That seems harsh. Why would God do that? Why would Jesus tell a story that he knows that only some people are going to be able to get the message? Other people are going to turn away from it. And they're going to be confused. They're never going to see what it was meant to teach. It's because of the heart that they have, the attitude that they have developed. And that is the same lesson that he is pointing out in the parable of the sower. That when the seed is sown, sometimes it fell upon the rocky ground, and the birds of the heaven come and take it away. He said, that is Satan. That's Satan taking the seed away from the hearts of the people. Sometimes it falls upon the rocky ground where it's hard shelf of rock underneath the soil. Very little layer of soil. It goes down and it hits the rocks. It dies. It withers and it dies. What is this? It's saying that there are people who are very excited to hear the Word of God for a short time, but then when they realize that this is a commitment that I am making in my life, and they begin to see what it really takes in order to apply the teaching, then they wither and they give up very easily. There's others that hear the Word of God, and they're very interested in it, but their life is so filled with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They don't want to give up on those things. They are more interested and they're drawn aside by those. It never bears any fruit to perfection. But he said there's the good soil. The good soil receives the same seed and it bears fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. It's not the problem with the messenger or the message. The problem is with the hearts of the people. The soil is different. And that represents the hearts of different individuals. There are three types that are unproductive. There's only one that ends up being really productive. Where the soil is good, it receives the seed, it bears fruit, it grows. And that soil is the one that passes the message on to the others who still need to hear it. Becomes in turn a sower of the seed so that the process is able to repeat itself. And that is what the kingdom of heaven is built upon. That spiritual reality. The kingdom of heaven is not going to be a kingdom that storms the world and takes over by power and force. It's a kingdom that God rules over the hearts of people. Those willing to receive His message and those willing to apply it can see the spiritual reality that the parable set forth so that they can enjoy the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is God ruling over your life. That you submit yourself to Him, to Jesus Christ as your Lord. And you live in accordance with His teachings and you receive the blessings of them. But those others that have rejected it, the kingdom of heaven is still going to ultimately lead to a day of judgment and a separation between those that are drawn into the Lord's harvest and those that are the chaff that are rejected with the tares. So what made the difference? It was the heart of the people. And the parable sometimes is able to get to the heart of the person to reveal what's really there. Is this person willing to receive and submit and be humble before God? That they might continue to ask the questions and come to the understanding that is needed, that they might actually receive the salvation. While there are many others that may not ever reach that point, it's because of the attitude that is built in with their heart. We all need to think about the parables. We all need to listen and sit at the feet of Jesus and allow Him to teach us, allow Him to instruct us, because His parables are for life. They are parables that help us to understand life and how to reach the fullness of the blessings that God has for us if we're willing to listen and hear those things. I want to thank you for your attention this morning. If there are those here that are subject to the invitation of Jesus this morning to come to Him, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. And if you're subject in any way, as we sing number one, All Things Are Ready.
All things are ready, come to the feast, come for the table now is spread.